Welcome to the Heart of Dating podcast. Hey, it's Kate. I'm so glad you could join us this week as we try to untangle the ever so ambiguous world of dating as a Christian. Over here on Heart of Dating, we get real as we answer some tough questions and uncover transformative ways to approach Christian dating. Oh, and you better believe we have some laughs along the way, because last time I checked, the struggle is hashtag real. You know what I'm saying? Now, let's get to the heart of the matter. Friends, we are thrilled to announce the launch of our brand new course, the Date Great Course. And we are letting Heart of Dating listeners be the first to get on the list for the next Date Great Course launch. To get first access, you can visit heartofdating.com/date-great. Stay tuned a little bit later, and I'm going to tell you all about it. So today's episode touches my heart for a plethora of reasons. The first time I heard this couple's story, I was brought to total and complete tears. Ugh, it moved me so deeply, just the vast amount of trauma they had been through but were able to overcome. So today, I sat down with the lovely Gerard and Jeannie Long. Gerard has an extensive banking career background that eventually led him to actually leaving his career to join Alpha USA. He is married to the lovely Jeannie, and together they live in Malibu. They also recently launched the Triumph for Marriage course, which is an e-learning course that strengthens couples. It is so amazing and powerful, you guys. So I want to go encourage you to check it out. Gerard and Jeannie have an incredible story of devastation, heartbreak, grief, and then restoration and hope and love. Today, they share about their tragically beautiful story and how they conquered it together with ultimate love and sacrifice and surrender through overwhelming healing and strengthening from God. Friends, the reason why their message is so powerful is that we believe this lie that our relationships are about making us happy. We focus on how the other person can serve our needs, and once it gets hard, we often see that as a red flag and we leave for the next thing. But the fact of the matter is, and what Jeannie and Gerard's story shows us today, is that life is so much more than just being happy. Storms will come, the unexpected will happen, and at the end of the day, you might be left in shambles with your spouse. This is where we have to admit that having a partner to see you through life's biggest hardships is so pivotal. So I hope today you will listen to today's episode with an open heart. The reality is, life will probably get ugly and painful and hard and sometimes tragic. So who is it you want standing by your side when that happens? Gerard and Jeannie Long, it's such a pleasure to have you both here today.
Well, Kate, thank you. It's a privilege for us and an honor as well to be with you. Thank you so much.
It is truly lovely. And if you were here, you would see how lovely Kate looks in her super duper dress. I love it.
Red polka dot.
Makes me happy.
Wear things that make you happy. I'm all about that.
Yeah.
So you guys, I'm so happy that you guys live in Malibu, right?
Yes.
Not too far
yeah.
from me.
Yeah,
beautiful no. Malibu.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's kind of the dream love place it. That everyone would want to live, I think. I would love to go out there and live there.
it's amazing. We're so grateful. We're right on the ocean in a little tiny little apartment, but do we have a beautiful view. Yeah. And we're so grateful for that.
Yeah.
It's precious, really, because we hadn't ever been to Malibu, and it's just it became very clear that God was calling us down here, which is a whole other story in itself.
But
it is a great place for feeling the healing of one's heart.
Yes, yes. So would you two tell us maybe a little bit about who you are and what you do right now?
Yeah, sure. So as you can tell from the accent, we're originally from the UK. We're Brits.
Something about the accent makes me happy.
Okay. Oh, well, that's nice. That's nice. So, yeah, the first 44 years or so of our lives, we were living in the UK. Mm. And then God moved us very clearly to New York. I was working for HSBC at the time, big international bank. So we shifted over to New York for 2 years, then to Chicago for 11 years. And then we've been down in Malibu for about 4 years now.
Wow. Mm. It was a wrench, though, leaving London. We had the privilege of building up a church together with a handful of sweet brothers and sisters. And so it was a clear calling to come to America through Gerard's work. And it's been one very big adventure.
Yeah. Mm. And you guys have a few projects you're working on right now, right?
Yeah. So our ministry is called Awakening to God Ministries. Yeah. And it's based on Isaiah 61. Yeah. So it's all about helping the poor, bringing good news to the poor, binding up the brokenhearted, freedom for captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. And so we do that all around the world. We've just been out to India, where we're helping villages to have clean water, providing bore wells for clean water. Every home in the village has is given a mosquito net. We take medical teams in there to help them, and then we provide them with food as well. So we're on a project now for 100 villages, helping thousands, tens of thousands of people. And at the same time, we're taking them the good news about Jesus Christ as well. These are mainly Hindu, but also some Muslim villages. So it's a great, it's an honor and privilege. And then the brokenhearted, as anyone who's maybe lost a loved one, maybe a breakup of a marriage or a relationship or something's happened in their life. And then the captives of people who've had something in their life that they didn't want, maybe abuse as a child, or maybe they are suffering from the loss of finances or loss of health. And then prisoners would be people who've made wrong decisions. Addicted, people who are addicted, but also incarcerated. And all of those groups, those are the ones that Jesus said, these are the ones that the Spirit of God's on me. He's anointed me to help these people. And that's where we feel out of our story, out of our brokenness, we want to help those groups of people.
Absolutely beautiful. I actually just recently went to one of California state prisons, and it was one of the most eye-opening, beautiful experiences for an event with Prison Fellowship called the Hope Event. And so I could not have been, like, everything you're saying is so touched my heart as well. And just God calls us to love all of his children and all of his people. So I absolutely love what you guys are doing.
Thank you.
Well, it was birthed in our own great sorrow. Awakening to God Ministries was birthed in immense sorrow and tears. And we're very humbled and privileged to the calling we have in this season.
You know, in the early church, when you look at church history, it was their acts of love to the broken that actually witnessed to the onlookers. That's why the Roman Empire took on Christianity, because they saw it was the Christians who were helping when there was a plague. They were the ones who were doing all of that. And I think that's something that young people today want to see, the church doing these things to change the world. And so that's part of our vision and passion now.
Well, we had a wonderful young man join us. That was very exciting.
In India.
Someone young with us.
We had prayed. We meet the young people
It was just so, so special.
Okay, so you brought this up, Jeannie, but you too have an impeccably beautiful story of, you know, sudden trauma, confusion and grief, and then of restoration and inspiration and beauty. And one reason I particularly wanted to have you two on today is because I think in terms of dating, we can get caught up in looking for something that will make us happy. And sometimes we hyper-focus on that, and we end up eliminating so many potential options because we aren't quite, I guess, quote unquote, happy with the relationship. And you see that happen time and time again. But the fact of the matter is, when you look at life in the scheme of life, there's so much more than just being happy, right? And storms will come, the unexpected will happen. And at the end of the day, you might be left in shambles in your relationship or in your marriage. And this is where we have to admit that having a partner is to see you through life's biggest traumas and struggles is so pivotal. And we had a guest on earlier this year, Gary Thomas, who says, you know, marriage isn't about making you happy, it's about making you holy, which I love that he says that. And I repeat that over and over. But so I'm really, really especially grateful to have you guys on today because of your story, which is just so profoundly beautiful and impactful. And the first time I heard it earlier this year, I was totally overwhelmed and completely inspired. And I just said, gosh, this story touched my heart, and such beautiful perspective in it, such beautiful hope in it. And so I'm so excited to have you guys on today. So I guess with all that being said, I'd love to ask if you would delight us in sharing some of your story with us.
Sure, it'd be a privilege. Well, you know, it's one of the things that is clear in Scripture, that we're called to something much greater than our own happiness. It's not about us ultimately, it's about God and his glory. And when we live for that, then we live in his fullness. So our story goes back to the UK, and I'll just start from myself initially and how Jeannie and I met. So I grew up in a Christian home, came to faith in Christ as a young boy, but never made Jesus my Lord. Went away from him in my teen years. And then Jeannie and I met in that time that I was away from God. I was an athlete, serious athlete. Jeannie was a professional ballerina. And then in 1980, I had a profound encounter with God my last year at college. And it was very clear God was saying to me, if you go my way, you may not get the things you want on the outside, but I'll give you fullness of life on the inside. And so I surrendered everything from that moment on, my pleasures, our relationship, my athletics, all the things, money, business. I just said, okay, God, I want you now to be Lord. You now to be number one in my life. And his love filled my heart like never before. It's like liquid love. Yeah. And from there on in, I just wanted to live for God's glory and to see Jesus revealed, the real Jesus, not religion in the wrong sense, but the real Jesus. Yeah. So Jeannie came to faith shortly after that. And we gave away everything. We had a business or money. We gave it. We wanted to start from just a base of trusting God. Yeah. And we got married at 23 years old. And it was beautiful. And we ended up in London. Yeah. And I was pastoring a church with some other guys. And but my tent making was banking. Sounds strange. Yeah. and we co-led the church. It was a good model. Three of us were leading the church, and it was an amazing church. We saw God do incredible things. We started running a thing called Alpha, drug addicts, alcoholics, broken people in our front room. We did it for 5 years, three times a year. Saw them coming to faith in Jesus, and it was amazing to see that. Mm. Now, while that was going on, we had three wonderful children, Rebecca, Ben, and Alex, and that was beautiful. They were incredibly gifted and talented children. Came to know Jesus, got baptized. Mm. And we thought we were going to be in London until the Lord came back or until we went to be with him. Yeah. We were just sold out for him. Yeah. And we wanted to see a transformation going on there. Yeah. But God made it very clear in 2001 that he had another part of our story that wasn't in London. And we ended up moving to New York. I was asked by the bank I was working for, HSBC, to move to New York to launch a global product. So we shifted. It was a big transformation. Thankfully, God made it very, very clear with words and scripture and other things. We moved over to New York. And then in 2003, I was asked to do an integration between HSBC and Household Finance. It was a $13.8 billion integration. So I had to move to Chicago to do that. And I remember in 2004, I said to Jeannie, does it get any better than this? We had a beautiful walk with Jesus. We knew him deeply. We lived by his word. We had a wonderful, wonderful marriage, deeply in love, and three fantastic children who knew the Lord, wonderfully talented. They were brilliant athletes and very, very bright, intelligent children. Living in a beautiful house, I was earning a huge amount in this job as an international expat banker.
Wow.
Does it get any better than this? You know, we were at the top of the mountain. Everything was fantastic. And that's okay. You know, if people are at the top of the mountain, that's okay. We go through seasons in our walk with Christ. Yeah. But it wasn't long after that. In fact, it was the following year, 2005. Mm. And it was like Job, it was as though Satan had been released on our family. And one thing after the other in that year, shock after shock. But the bottom of the valley was in November 2005 when our youngest son, Alex, he was 17 years at the time, very bright, brilliant athlete. He tried to help a boy. He knew the Lord. He tried to help a boy at school, but the boy was a troubled boy. And he ended up taking a drug with this boy, and it became delusional. And then on the 8th of November 2005, Alex went outside, and he committed suicide. So we don't try and describe the pain because there's no words to describe it. But it was as though our world had fallen apart. We'd never come across suicide before. It was just absolutely devastating. And Jeannie, her mother's heart shattered and broken from this, went from shock to horror to anger to hatred and then to bitterness. And our beautiful love turned to hatred. Because the horrible thing with suicide is blame. Why did you bring us to America? Why did you bring us to Chicago? Why did Alex go to this school? You know, trying to rewind to get out of this horror, there's a nightmare that she was in. Right. Utter darkness. And for 2 years, she lost her faith. Mm. And it was like torture. It was like such pain in our home. And I just knew at that time that God was calling me to do what I did done in our marriage, was to lay my life down, was to love Jeannie in her brokenness and in her darkness. And so by his grace, I did. And we learned very, very deep things of God during that time. So it went from beauty to ashes in a very quick time, didn't it? Mm. Mm.
Yes. Well, Stuart, in a nutshell, has shared some of our story. I would just jump in here and say I never imagined that this would be our story. As Gerard said, we were madly, passionately in love. We're completely following what we felt Jesus calling us to do in London, and blessed with seeing many people come to faith, which was a joy to our hearts. Mm. And we just had so much fun and laughter. It really was like living in the Acts, really, wasn't it? It was wonderful. But our hearts are broken.
Yeah, I think so. It was after that darkness that Jeannie went into.
Yeah,
it was our beautiful daughter Rebecca that helped Jeannie particularly to come out of 8 years. She was in depression, after Alex, and she nearly died of a broken heart. Actually, she had a major operation; her intestines knotted twice.
Oh wow!
And Rebecca. She loved the Lord, knew the Lord, and she couldn't bear the thought of young people dying without knowing Jesus after her heart was broken with Alex. And so in this time I'd come to see eternity. So as much as Jeannie ran away from God, I felt I just ran into God. And so I'd get up in the early hours of the morning, middle of the night, and go down to my study and weep until I had no more tears left to cry. And I just felt God's presence so clearly in that time. And he showed me many things. One of them was eternity, because I couldn't make any sense. We'd served God with all of our hearts for 24 years, and now this had happened. It didn't make any sense at all. How was this going to glorify God? And then God opened up my eyes to eternity, and I started to see that this is just a vapor. It's just a breath relative to what's to come. And that God's working through our lives now, not just for now, but for what is to come, for the eternal. When you see the eternal perspective, everything changes. And so that really helped me to be able to understand what was going on, and that God was going to work something through this for his glory, like with Joseph.
Yes.
Remember, he said to his brothers, "You intended it for evil. God intended it for good, for the saving of many lives," Genesis 50:20. And so I could see that, and I'd see that God was calling me to something deeper. And so I also understood about the throne of grace in that time, because I was going to the throne of grace and receiving from God. Well, Rebecca, I was asked to join Alpha USA. Alpha is something that helps people to come to know Jesus.
Yes, I love Alpha. I'm a part of it here.
So because I was seeing eternity, I was now desperate for souls.
Yeah.
And then I was asked to lead this organization, which is all about saving souls. So.
Wow.
It fitted in. I understand. Okay, God, I see what you're doing with this. Well, Rebecca came. She didn't go into corporate world. She got her MBA at 25 from Loyola University.
Yeah.
And she decided to come and join me in Alpha. She didn't go into the corporate world. She laid her life down, so to speak. She became a national director for Alpha Youth.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
Yeah, she was having an amazing impact on young people all up and down the country. We ended up sharing a platform with her. It was incredible speaking together. And then in 2014, we were down in Southern California here, and we were speaking at a Latino conference.
Oh, okay.
I had to go to London with Jeannie. She stayed on to do some talking down here. And then on the 7th of May 2014, she went back to Chicago. The next morning, she went out for a run. Mm. And it was a very, very hot day, and she went down to the lake to cool off. Now, we're not sure what happened, because she had blood sugar issues. We think she may have fainted. Anyway, she fell into the lake and she couldn't get out where she'd fallen in. She tried to swim round to a boat ramp, and the water was 37 degrees, and she got hypothermia. Oh. And although she was calling out for help, four people rang 911. She ended up drowning.
Mm.
So now... on top of Alex, our brokenness with Alex, now our beautiful daughter, who was just such a sweet girl, loved Jesus so much. She was so precious to us. She was living with us as our best friend when she wasn't traveling.
Mm.
Now she was gone as well. So Jeannie, in that time, I didn't realize it, but she realized she couldn't go through this grief again.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she decided she was going to take her own life. And so she went upstairs, and she wasn't going to come out of the room that she was going into. She was going in to take her life. And then she had this incredible encounter with God. And she was completely transformed. It was a very sacred moment. Mm. But she came downstairs, and I said to her, "Jeannie, what's happened to you?" Mm. And her whole face had changed. And then two other people that same day who knew us well, knew Jeannie well, came and they saw her and they said exactly the same thing. So there were like three witnesses on that day for this encounter. She was transformed. And then we realized we were both holding this brokenness. We were with our broken hearts, and we're saying, "Okay, God, we don't like this. This isn't the cut we want, but it's what we've got. We want to be faithful to do whatever you want us to do with this." And God had said to her in those moments, "Jeannie, your grief is not your own." And we realized he was calling us to the Isaiah 61 ministry.
Oh, gosh.
That through the comfort that he was comforting us with, we were now able to comfort other people. And so now we have people contacting us all around the world who are broken, suffering, the poor, all of those things.
Yeah.
He's now using, through our brokenness, his love is reaching those folks and bringing comfort to those people.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we are today. And we've learned so many lessons on the way through that.
Mm. Utterly broken. And we miss Alex. And Rebecca, every day with our tears, we weep every day. We miss them so much. But I do have to share that I had an encounter with God that was so powerful. My grief, you see, had taken me to a dark place, and I myself became suicidal. So it was an incredible thing, and it's a wonder to me that in that encounter, God filled my heart with joy. So much joy that I see very clearly the spiritual battle we're in. And even today, Kate, being with you in the spiritual battle, I see that we're kicking Satan in the teeth and we're knocking him out the way, and we're giving God the glory for what he's done in our marriage, which is a miracle. It's a victory to be sitting here with you today. And I feel if I said nothing else, which would be easier for me, but it's a miracle that in our marriage today we can declare God is good.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. It's hard to even, it's hard to say anything after that. It's such a beautiful testimony of just God's redemption through your marriage, through your lives, the miraculous healing he was able to do, and Jeannie, for you and that day and what you experienced with God. And what a beautiful testament to how loving our Father is, right? And
Amen.
How he pursues us through every hardship.
Yes.
And anybody who is going through grief or sorrow or addiction, or it feels oppressed, like he is still pursuing all of the brokenhearted or all the lost.
Yes.
And I that is such a beautiful, because even people listening who may be heartbroken for whatever reason, even from relationship, which can feel like deep heartbreak in ways.
Yeah.
God never stops pursuing in those moments.
Yes.
And what I also particularly love, not only the miraculous amount of hope and redemption in your lives, but how he also restored your marriage and your relationship, and how that may not have been an easy process, of course, in those years after Alex, when, Jeannie, you guys had a very difficult time, and Gerard, you just said, I know earlier you said it was like you had to lay your life down. And I think just that whole picture of what marriage really is laying down your life for someone else every single day.
Well, as we alluded to, storms are an inescapable part of our life for all of us. And as Gerard alluded to, we were, hit with a tsunami that did change our lives. And, Kate, you were saying about Gerard laying down his life. I can honestly say if he hadn't laid down his life for me and for our family, keeping his promise to me on our married day and our marriage vows, and I'll just pick for better, for worse, he loved me through some very, as he's shared briefly, and of course it's hard to share, 8 years of intensely deep sorrow together. He did love me through those dark seasons, and I didn't deserve it. And Kate, I know your program is called, I think, Heart of Dating. And if I may, I'd like to just share here. I think it's a wise woman who prays for a man that puts God first, that he puts God before them. That was my own experience, and that's the reason we're here today. Right from the early premise, that was our experience, and I believe that's a key for a beautiful marriage. That we can be on your blessed to be on your program today, and to say that we have a beautiful marriage when we have been through, I would say, hell in our marriage. Satan wanted to split us up.
Yes.
And if it hadn't been for your love and prayers, then I believe this, we wouldn't be here today. But I actually found great comfort when Gerard, in those early years, told me that there would be nothing that would become between him and God. And he has proved that in these darkest of seasons. And I think he's rather like King David in the Bible. Gerard is a man who is after God's heart. And I can say that because I've known Gerard for 40 years and we've been married for 37 of those. He is a great man of faith who loves God's word and holds on to God's promises. And for both of us, they've been at great cost. But that, I think, is a wonderful key.
It's interesting that in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus actually explains to us, look, here's how you're going to live a full life, a blessed life, including dating, including marriage. This is how it should work. And at the end of that sermon in Matthew 7, he says that those of you who hear these words of mine and put them into practice are like people who build their house upon a rock. And the storms will come, but that house will stay strong. If the alternate, he says, is the people who don't put these words into practice, do their own thing, live for the ways of this world, it's like building your house on sand. When the storm comes, it's going to fall. And I know that in our worst moments, it was God's promises that I clung to. In the brokenness, knowing that Jesus was there, knowing that the Holy Spirit was there to give me new love, fresh love that was unending. It was his love. The Bible calls it agape love. It's an unending, unconditional love that he was giving to me that I could then pass on to Jeannie. I used to have times where I'd say to God, I can't do this anymore. I'm too broken. It's hurting too much. Because every effort I poured onto her, she would kick me in the face, so to speak, because of her brokenness and her grief. You can't do that in your natural love. It's impossible. But I knew that God hates divorce, and he wanted me to keep loving. And so I was holding on to God's promises, letting God, the Holy Spirit, fill me afresh. And we came through. God brought us through into triumph. We're more in love now. Our love's deeper now than ever before. The point being is that when you're looking and thinking about a future spouse, that yes, obviously we were hugely attracted to each other physically and everything else. That's important. But I would argue that actually character and a person of God, whether it's a man or a woman, a person of God is of much greater value, because there are storms. Everyone's going to face storms. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have trouble.
So,
we had minor storms before, but when you have a major storm, your foundation is going to be tested. What are you standing on? And how many people do we know where they started off with beautiful marriages, everything looked great, and then a storm came and it all fell apart. And then they go through years upon years of brokenness and loneliness as the whole thing falls apart. What's the point of that? You want to build on solid rock, on Jesus. Even if that means waiting, it's much better to wait and build on solid rock to have something that will go on for 37 yes. until Jesus comes back.
That can endure the storms yeah. and hardships and yeah. tsunamis of
yeah.
life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What you're saying of character and a heart for God and is so, I mean, that is critical, right? And
yeah.
It's so mm. critical. And I often talk about, you know, what character traits do you look for? But I think something that you guys are saying that we really, I think, especially as millennials, especially as a culture where we're kind of seeking mm. our instant gratification, something that we've kind of lost through this all is the idea of sacrificial love, which you yeah. guys are talking about, and which really is the whole picture of your marriage, right? And I think when we don't really realize what sacrificial love is and how to do that, we're setting ourselves up for a very potential difficult marriage, right?
Yeah, 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 yeah. Even if you've got yeah. a great, on the, you know, to start with, everything's great and you're all romantic right. and you're head over heels in love,
yeah,
that's only for a season.
Yeah.
And the big thing is, where's your foundation?
Right.
What are you standing on? And we've always loved that picture in the Bible where it says a three-corded strand length in Proverbs is not easily broken.
Mm.
What does that look like? It's like a triangle that first has got to be Jesus.
Yeah.
For both the husband and the wife, he's got to be first. It's not about us, it's about him.
Yes.
And that's what draws us together. That's what makes a strong marriage, where we put his will ahead of our will. That's the cross.
Yeah.
Not my will, but your will be done. And then Jesus went and laid his life down at the cross, even in great agony. Yeah. So sacrificial love, it costs. I mean, you know, Jesus, we're taught in Romans 12, a living sacrifice.
Yeah.
If you want to follow Jesus, he said, take up your cross daily
yes.
and follow me.
Yes.
And it's the key is in the dying brings the glory.
Dying. Yeah.
It's either your life or his life.
Mm.
So when we lay down our lives, guess what? His life comes through. That's why we have yes. this amazing joy in the middle of our sorrow.
Yes.
Makes no sense.
And it's difficult to do. It is. It's difficult. But the beauty of that is Jesus can more clearly come through. And what I always say to people, and of course, it's one of the hardest things to do, lay down your selfishness and be sacrificial for another. But in that, you become more and more like Jesus.
Friends, okay, exciting news. So through all of my podcast conversations, meeting with pastors, speakers, and authors, the reading of every relationship book under the sun, coupled with my own 15 years of dating experience, I have realized that I'm bursting at the seams with knowledge and insight. So I took everything I learned throughout my 15 years of dating experience and I created something amazing, and I'm excited to be introducing it to you today via the Date Great course. The Date Great course is a time for you to dive into transforming your dating life. I will equip you over a 5-week time span with the knowledge, tools, and insight you need to love your dating life again and find a healthy, lasting Christian relationship. In module 1, we're going to talk about how singleness is not a disease. We'll discuss how we can steward this time well to cultivate holy ambition and develop disciplines that will set us up for marriage. In module 2, we'll talk about what is dating anyway, and we'll go over an awareness of your real intentions and ambitions in dating. I will also give you a framework for the various stages of dating, how to navigate each one, and how to initiate different kinds of conversations. In module 3, we'll talk about dating essentials. We'll talk about how to know you're dateable, what qualities do you need to have, and then what kind of qualities do you really need to look for in someone else? What kind of a list should you have? Lastly, in module 4, we're going to talk about how do you know that you know, as we walk through the discernment process and truly determining if you want to spend your life with someone. We will also discuss breakups and how to handle them on either side. There will also be bonus content, including the ultimate dating essentials checklist, the top secrets to initiating, the love thyself guide, and the ultimate breakup Bible study and prayer guide. I am giving Heart of Dating listeners the chance to get on a special list to have first access to this course. You can visit heartofdating.com/dategreat to reserve your spot today. I have so much hope and excitement for all of you. I really don't want you to have to go through all the pain, destruction, and frustration I went through. You are ready for freedom and breakthrough and an amazing relationship. So visit heartofdating.com/dategreat.
So in this process of learning how to be sacrificial, I think that we sometimes don't even know how to do that practically in dating and in relationships.
Mm.
And I see a lot of relationships fail because people don't go into relationships knowing how do I be sacrificial
mm-hmm.
In dating or in relationships. So do you guys have any advice for what that might look like in dating relationships, even just for people who are like, well, I'm not sure how to actually practically do that, because it is harder than just having friendships with individuals.
I think at the end of the day, it's about is it me or is it God's will? You know, that's the whole thing, isn't it? Am I living for me or am I living for God's will?
Yeah.
Not even ahead of the other person. I think you've got to come back to Jesus, where you see he was in absolute agony. But what did he say? Nevertheless, not my will, mm-hmm. but your will be done.
Yes.
And all he lived for was his Father's will. That's what we're called to live for, mm-hmm. is Jesus' will. So when you're coming to dating and in marriage, it's the first question is, Lord, what do you want?
Mm-hmm.
And that means putting yourself out. You know, I want to do this. Now, this is what I want, but actually, Lord, what do you want? And that might mean, okay, what is my partner?
Yeah.
What are they? What will be best for them? How can I bless them? Because the whole thing of loving is wanting to bless other people, mm-hmm. isn't it? Not that you become a doormat, but actually, there's going to be times where it's going to be uncomfortable, and you're going to have to put yourself out.
Right.
Which is so contrary to the world, because the world always says, no, it's all about me. I've got to be happy. I've got to have what I want. It's not the way in the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's going to get hard. And that's another thing. We live in such a comfortable environment, don't we? Culture.
Yeah.
You know, we've got to learn what it means to put yourself out and to die to self. It hurts.
Be in the uncomfortable sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, put yourself in uncomfortable situations. Have the uncomfortable, you know, talks with people that you may be wanting to avoid, you know? And just like you're saying, if let's say I'm an introvert or I'm an extrovert, someone's an introvert, or vice versa. You sometimes have to go out of your comfort zone if you're dating someone who is very different from you in that way.
And we're so different.
Yeah. Yes.
So it's those little things, right?
So different.
Yes.
Incredible.
Yeah.
And you don't want to date someone that's exactly like you. I don't want to just date an extrovert that loves Disneyland and, you know, is, you know, loves polka dots. But it truly, you know, it is sometimes being that, like, okay, this is not my natural inclination per se.
Yes.
But
yes.
How can I bless that other person?
Yes.
How can I be sacrificial for them today or do something that might be unexpected for them?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I think the other thing is important to say here is that there's one of the things I learned in that darkest of dark hours was the throne of grace. It's Hebrews 4, verse 16. And that in my brokenness, I could go to that throne of grace and offload my pain, my suffering. And in its place, God gave me his life and his love.
Yeah.
It's a great transfer that goes on there. And so that's a beautiful thing. What is God's grace? It's everything you need to do his will.
Mm.
His will is that you keep on loving.
Mm.
And so he'll give us more love, his love poured into our hearts, more strength.
Yeah.
Sometimes you feel very weak, more wisdom, more guidance, whatever you need to do his will. That's what grace is. It's Jesus at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
He gives us his life in exchange for our life.
Mm.
You hang on to your life, you say, okay, well, you're hanging on to your life. You're not letting me in.
Right.
Lay your life down and guess what? My life will flow through.
Amen.
And I think it's like laying it all down, right? Because we like to lay little bits of it. We're like, okay, well, this I'll put here.
Yeah.
You know, but not all of me. Or I won't give up that. Or I won't do that. I'll do some of this, but not all.
Yes.
So I think that's so key and in relationship as exactly that as well.
Yes.
And Jeannie, I know you've said I read this somewhere in an article from you guys that you mentioned that you don't believe that anything is really random anymore. And I love that I heard you guys talk about that, because in all that you've been through and all that you've grieved and experienced, sometimes we can hold on to the things that are happening where we're like, well, why did that happen? That did not need to happen. You know, we grieve with God and we fight and wrestle with God. So I just love to hear you maybe talk a little bit on that.
Well, nothing is random.
Mm-hmm.
It is at great cost that I would say that when the enemy would whisper such lies to me when we went through our grieving and our tsunami storm. But scripture speaks, Psalm 139, it speaks of how our time are in God's hands.
Yes.
And it's been an amazing thing to me, to know that God has been over every single moment, the good times and the bad times. He is truly over our lives, because you see what he's doing is he's pruning us and he's drawing us unto himself. And my heart's broken, and he is close to the brokenhearted, and I feel God so close to me. So nothing is random in God. He knew exactly, he goes before us. He knew exactly the day Alex would go home and how to heaven. And he knew exactly the day Rebecca would go home to heaven. He knew that we would be here today, blessing him and lifting his name up with you, Kate. And so, so nothing is random. He is sovereign God.
It's amazing to hear Ginny say that, because for a long, long time, she would never be able to say that. And in fact, she lost her faith for 2 years, and God has bit by bit opened her eyes. And as she mentioned, Psalm 139:16, it says, I knew you from your mother's womb. Every day of your life was written in my book before one of them came to be.
Yeah.
I know the plans I have for you, Jeremiah 29:11. Right. Plans to bless you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. And we had to wrestle with these thoughts. Lord, God, have you lost control without allowing this to happen? Is it that you're not sovereign? Is it that Satan's more powerful than you that this should happen? And that's where eternity came in. Yes. Then we realized in the context of eternity, God was going to turn it around for his glory. Mm. Alex and Rebecca aren't dead. They're more alive than we are. They both knew Jesus. Alex made a terrible mistake, but the blood of Jesus covers our sins and our mistakes, including suicide. Some people get confused with that, but he does. So they're more alive than we are. We're going to see them again. It's just we have to suffer now every day because we miss them. But he's sovereign, and he's using it now to reach hundreds and thousands of people through his grace coming to us, flowing through us to help other people. Mm. So we know he is all-powerful, all-powerful. He's over our lives. The thing is, he loves us so incredibly. Of course he wants the best for us. Of course he's got the best spouse for us.
Yes.
But I just wanted to say that what I say is I don't say lightly, because I don't know if it's English humor, but I just thought, you know, it's incredible since the encounter how God in his tender mercy has invited. Jared's always been invited to speak, but it always scares me when they say, and Jeannie as well. So, you know, I share that for God's glory, because I joked to myself, gosh, if I'd been asked to speak before, it would have been completely different. So it is since God's encounter that he has, it is a wonder and a joy to me that he poured so much into me, which I can't share it all now, but I just wanted to say that. But I also say that I think to be patient. Love is patient, and to continue being godly is very important.
Yeah, we believe that God's got a perfect spouse.
Yes,
marriage is God's idea.
Yes,
romance is God's idea. Yes. He delights in romance. Yes. He loves that. It.
Yes,
it thrills his heart. Yes, his idea. And so the Jeannie mentioned about patience and the importance of waiting.
Yes,
waiting for the person that God's planned for you.
Yes. And to be, I've got Matthew 6:33 is very important scripture to me. Seek his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. And the very well-known one, Proverbs 3, I'll just say these two again, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and in all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. And then Hebrews 6:12, we do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. And when we were pastors in London, we had the privilege of seeing so and praying through with different single people. It was a joy to wait patiently with them, to keep godly, keeping God's word, and to see that God did bring over the years a wonderful husband or wife.
Yes.
And I'd say one of the hallmarks of our church was many things, but all the marriages were incredibly strong. Yeah.
Didn't have one divorce in 22 years.
Wow.
Yeah. And so
that's such a feat with our statistics.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yes. So all glory to God for that. But he does give us the keys in the Bible.
Yes, he does.
You know,
yes,
love is patient.
Yeah.
That is huge.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. 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 And it's worth waiting for because he's got the very best. I was surprised when a friend of ours invited us to the movies. And I was so deeply touched on. You tell this one because it's a.
It's just again me. I'm so silly. Oh, silly with the humor. We have a sweet friend who walked with us in. She knew Rebecca. She was on Rebecca's board, and she was unbelievable in walking with us. She stepped into our grief with us. Anyway, she was always wanting to do fun things, which is adorable. Anyway, one day she says, "I've booked for us to go to the cinema." And I was like, "Oh, we love the cinema. It's so exciting." And then we got there, my heart sank. It was Cinderella. And so I thought, "Oh my goodness, Gerard is not going to like Cinderella." He is a real man's man, you know, passionate, adventurous, exciting, men with flags and marching and good old war films. And I was sitting there thinking, oh my goodness, and it was completely the opposite. Yeah. I mean, you should say that bit.
Well, there was such a spiritual message to it. Yeah.
Yeah,
it was the bit where she comes with her to meet her bridegroom, the prince, with her blue dress, and they're dancing, and it it's like the Spirit of God just said, you know, this is the bride and bridegroom. It's the wedding feast of the Lamb, and that's God's romance. You know, we are the bride of Christ. There's going to be a day when we come together. But it just touched my heart how much God loves romance. And, so it's worth waiting. The point in all this, I guess, it's worth waiting.
I love that.
For the most beautiful thing that he's planned for you. And don't go early and mess things up. Let God do it to the perfect person.
And just to say for the sweet sisters who might be listening, wherever we invited, when we had that season, we were telling all the men to go and see Cinderella.
Yes,
if Gerard could see Cinderella and be touched by it spiritually, so it's a good thing. That's a good thing.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
I love a man who can love a good Disney film or rom-com.
So. I know. It was such fun. We did giggle about that, but anyway.
And God does love
and our
romance.
Our friend knew exactly the right. She's very spiritual, and she knew exactly the right movie. So, what do I know?
Yeah.
If there are any last things that you guys want to say or recommend or fill us with today. And I always ask also the listeners towards the end of the interview or the guests towards the end of the interview, if you have any last nuggets of dating advice, I'd love to hear that. And any just last words, because this has been so encouraging and beautiful. And so I just want to give you the opportunity to kind of share anything else on your heart.
Well, I think we'd love to point people, if we may, to a couple of resources that have come out of our brokenness.
Yeah.
So Satan tried to destroy our marriage, and our belief is that God has caused us not only to redeem us, to restore us, but also to cause us to triumph.
Yes.
So any area that we've been attacked in, that God wants to turn it around for his glory. And so we've now written this thing called Triumph of Marriage. Yes. It's an e-learning course. And it's for those people who are single now to learn about marriage ahead of time. That's wisdom.
Yes.
But also we have one of the lessons in here is how to find a godly spouse.
Yes.
So we go through the biblical, because there's many keys in scripture. How do you find the person that God's got for you? So that's one of our lessons. So we'd love to point people towards that. It's triumphofmarriage.com.
Okay, perfect.
That's a great, great
and
resource.
These things really work.
Yeah.
Because we're here today.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
They're what we walked through.
These are the biblical principles.
Who better to learn from? You know, just everybody listening, like if you don't have a godly couple mentor in your life, it is so invaluable to have that in your life and in relationships. So, and that's why, I mean, obviously this course is such a rich gift to all of us, all the singles, dating, relationship, and married, to learn from those who have really triumphed, right? And it's
praise God.
Yeah, to yes. really learn from those who have conquered.
Yes.
So
yes.
I highly, highly recommend.
Oh, that's everyone. Good. Thank you.
Glory to God.
And then you mentioned running from the heart dying.
Yes, I just Rebecca was single and she was waiting for a godly man, and she was very beautiful, and I fell upon her journals, and I with Gerard we have been honored to write it's a little devotional called Running from the Heart.
Oh, yes.
And that might be an encouragement to any sweet girls.
Yeah.
The heart of that was as well for people to come to faith.
Mm.
And we heard that some people have.
Yeah. Well, it's great because it's a story of a godly woman who wanted to put Jesus first in the midst of all the pressures that we all face. And, you know, many, many guys were chasing after her. And she faced challenges, brokenness because of Alex.
Mm.
And one of the things, one of the chapters in there is on solitude.
Oh,
and,
yes.
you know, one of the issues that are big today is this whole thing of loneliness.
Yes.
And so she addresses that in this particular chapter,
right.
how she turned loneliness into solitude, something so beautiful.
Mm.
And it's a great message there.
That's amazing.
Not to be alone.
Yeah.
She went deep into God in the season of when she felt lonely.
Mm.
And then she felt what she's written, you know, she wrote, solitude leads to peace, whereas loneliness leads to anxiety.
Mm.
Solitude is enjoyable, but loneliness is unpleasant. And just lots of little pearls of wisdom like that, that as she sought God and God's word. She was real. We're real. This is real. We're living it.
Yes.
We're living it.
Yes.
This is real.
Yes.
This is.
And I love, love, love that she wrote that, because especially from a single woman's perspective, because more for many single men too, it still relates, but we have an epidemic of loneliness in our country and our world.
We hear that.
It causes all sorts of depression and you know, a slew of other issues, because even though, you know, apparently we're supposed to be more connected than ever with technology and all of these forms of connecting, but in ways we're just becoming actually more lonely than ever.
Yes.
But I love that, because being alone, being in solitude is a beautiful gift, actually.
Yes, it sure is.
Because we can surrender more of ourselves to God, and we can draw closer to Him in
those times
of solitude.
That's
but if
we
see it as, I am lonely, I am lonely, it becomes this definition that defines us as a loneliness, which it doesn't have to, right?
No,
absolutely.
Right. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And she had such a walk with the Lord. People would say she was a modern day saint. I mean, she had such an impact on people's lives.
Mm.
But you have to, just like in marriage, you have to wrestle with these things sometimes and come to a place of rest and peace in what God says.
Yes.
He defines our identity, not the world, not our situation. It's what God says. And she came to that, didn't she? So she had great peace on her through that.
She was a great athlete. So she related her spiritual walk with being an athlete.
Oh, wow.
And it was lovely. And I just saw that she said, I am thankful for this season. He who began a good work in me will carry it on to completion. He has pruned the areas of my heart that have been proud and deceived, misled, selfish, etc. There is a new peace in my heart, and it will keep growing. I understand the magnitude of the sacrifice that has been made for me. God has been speaking to me the whole time, and I missed so much.
Mm-hmm.
And that was sort of at the end of it, and we saw her come through that. And she had a sweet thing of when she had a race, she would sweetly go to a quiet place and just think through the tactics of her race, because she was an 800-meter runner, which, if you know anything about running, that's very fast, twice around the track, and it's really gutsy and really hard. And you have to think tactically. And she would allude that to being quiet in God, because then in God, then when you go out in your day, you know, you're going to have a tough day. 800 meters is a tough race, but she had the victory. She was never alone. God is always with us.
So I think, just to answer your question as well, you were saying at the last little nuggets.
Yes.
I think one of the things is to encourage folks who are listening is that you're written into God's story. Mm. You have a specific part in the bigger picture that God is writing.
That's it.
Shakespeare said the whole world's a stage and men and women all have our parts. Yeah. You know, we have our entrances and our exits.
That's it.
And we're written into God's story. And so in his story, in his script, there's great joy. Mm. There's great peace. There's great love. And don't go off script. Mm. Don't take things into your own heart. Be patient. Keep whatever season you're in, make sure you make the most of it to get the most out of what God's saying to you. Like she said, she missed some things because she was distracted.
Yes.
So don't get distracted by what the world is saying, but rather hear what God is saying to you through the Holy Spirit and through his word. Mm. Because he wants us to be faithful in every season.
Yes.
Faithful to what he wants to show us, faithful to his word, faithful to the things he's planned for us.
Mm-hmm.
That's the key to life, and that's the key to great dating and great marriage.
Yes, and that to me is what is keeping. That's real. That's the real bit. Not the striving after something that, you know, will just fizzle out. And to answer your question as well, what to look for, I think we all know men and women are so different. Mm-hmm. Women are so emotional, so complicated. Yeah. Well, I am, I'll speak for myself. And men are just wonderfully different. And I love that. I love that they're different. And as we've alluded to, you know, if you've got one in your marriage, I was blessed to have Jared, who is holding on to God's promises. You will make through these seasons. And I know that communication is a key. And my way of communication with Jared is not just to talk it through, although I do. It is to pray together.
That's good.
When you're single or when you're married, to pray together. Mm. That is the communication point for me and Jared. Mm. We talk in prayers. We are just saying scripture to each other. But I'm talking 40 years now. When we first got married, again, Jared is a man after God. Prayer was so important to him. It wasn't so important to me then. It was, as it is, obviously now it's my bread. Mm-hmm. But we almost practiced praying together when it didn't feel natural. Yeah. And so there'd be the two of us in a room. And I'm so grateful to this day that Gerard did that, because at the time I did not take it seriously. But,
she didn't.
But I'm so grateful to God that I have a man who is so strong in God's word.
Mm. Oh,
I pray that for everybody.
Yes, me too. You guys, what a delight today just to hear your story, your wisdom, the pictures of endurance and redemption and steadfast love and sacrificial love and just all that he's done in your life. Thank you both so, so much for sharing this wisdom, your story. I just know, I know from the depth of my heart that this is going to be so encouraging to everyone listening.
That's the prayer.
So thank you just for delighting me today with your story and delighting all of us listeners.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Kate. You're precious. An honor. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank
you.
I don't know about you, friends, but I definitely had moments of tears throughout that conversation today. What a beautiful testimony of God's redemptive love and care for us. Also, what a miraculous story of a powerful couple who has been through the worst, but is that much stronger because of it. Don't you want a story like that? A story that withstands all the hardships that life has to throw at you? For my single and dating listeners, you want a marriage like this, one that can withstand the true tornadoes of life. You want someone who reflects the heart of God, someone who's sacrificial, and someone who will fight for you in your marriage despite whatever life throws your way. As I said today, character and a person of God is much greater of value than attraction, because there are storms in life. Y'all, I hope this was encouraging and even challenging to you today. And I want to encourage you to check out Gerard and Jeannie's e-learning course today at triumphofmarriage.com. I cannot be more thankful for your support of the Heart of Dating podcast. I am blown away by your rankings, reviews, messages, all of it. If you want to be a part of our inner circle and support what we are doing, we encourage you to pledge any dollar amount that you want on our Patreon page at patreon.com/heartofdating. Also, if you like this podcast, would you please consider giving us a review? It helps us immensely, and we could not thank you more. Until next time, friends.